Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode of Wrestling Nostalgia Goodness. On this episode, my guest is Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. We talk about the State Patrol and the WCW Power Plant, including Goldberg, El Gigante, Batista, and much more. And guys, I know I don't usually do this, but I have to talk about a couple of current topics. Now we're going to step out of the nostalgia realm and into the modern just for a moment. And I'm going to start, let's talk about Ric Flair. Now guys, Ric Flair, he was always one of my favorite wrestlers, right? I always loved his work, loved his presence, loved the Horseman, and everything else, right? He was the kind of guy that I liked in the ring, the kind of guy that I liked as a presentation for a world champion. But guys, the guy, man, I don't know what's going on. Recently, obviously, Jim Ross announced and began treatment for cancer. And Rick tweeted something to the effect of, there's Jim Ross always looking for attention. Now, he did delete the tweet, and he claimed it was just a joke. But even if that is the case, which I'm not so sure it is, but if it was, that's a joke in very poor taste, in my opinion. And just not necessary. There's other ways that, you know, you can wish a guy well than say something like that. I don't get that. And then a short while later, you know, Rick did announce that he once again has skin cancer. And I hope Rick recovers from that, you know, fully well and everything else. And I am glad that Ric Flair is still with us, obviously. But I always wanted Rick to be one of those guys that aged into the elder statesman of professional wrestling, right? The guy that us old school fans could look to represent wrestling in the proper way and not be such just basket cases like some other older wrestlers and contemporaries of his are. And he clearly has not. And the thing is this, Rick has had so many bad things happen to him, right? Health scares. And he's overcome them, and I'm glad he has. But every time one of them occurs, you always think, okay, hopefully now, maybe Ric Flair it'll open his eyes, right? It'll bring him back down to earth, ground him a little bit. But instead, it's like the opposite happens. It fuels his feeling of invincibility, and he goes a little bit further off the rails. And I don't know. I feel like that Ric Flair just more and more tarnishes his image and his legacy. And I hate to see it. I really, really do. Because like I said, I was once a fan of his. I can't really say I am any longer. You know, and if you guys are, more power to you. But I wish he were representing wrestling a little better than his behavior recently has been. So let's move on then to something that's kind of on the other end of the spectrum just a bit. And let's talk about R-Truth. Now, guys, I don't watch a lot of modern wrestling. I just watch bits and pieces here and there, and I, you know, nothing extraneous, but obviously, this the R-Truth situation has been caught up in the wrestling news circle and in social media. And I have a couple of observations here. First of all, there was the talk that R-Truth was released. And then there was this public outcry of everybody that, you know, loved R-Truth, enjoyed R-Truth, and wanted R-Truth to still be in WWE. The report is because of that outcry, they did a 180. They re-signed R-Truth, and he's back with the company, right? He made a surprise return just a few days later at Money in the Bank, attacking John Cena at the end of the tag match main event, and costing his team the match. Now, some people are claiming, no, it was just all a work. Everybody, you all got worked. It was just a work. And I don't know. Was it? Wasn't it? I don't know. Who cares, right? I mean, it was a pretty cool moment all in all. I mean, R-Truth is a funny guy that should be that one kind of comedic kind of guy, right? Because he does it so well. He should be it, right? That should be the one guy. He's always been there, worked hard, done whatever, represented well, everything else. So I'm very happy that he is back in WWE. Were viewers, fans worked, or was this a legit? I don't know. Some people are saying one thing, some people are saying the other. Personally, as someone on the outside, as we all are, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. Just enjoy the moment, enjoy the situation, that it was pretty cool to see, a pretty cool moment nonetheless, and ride it. Now, my second point on all this is that this divide of was it a work or wasn't a work. People, there are so many of you out there on social media in the internet wrestling community that are claiming you know that it's one or the other, that you have sources, you have insights, you have the scoop. Okay, yes, there are just a handful, just a very small handful of you who are legitimate journalists, that I would call legitimate wrestling journalists, who are covering the sport in a news type way, that do have sources and whatever else. So guys, if you happen to be listening to me, you know who you are, and you disregard. But some of you with, like, you know, 10 Twitter followers and nothing going, and what, you guys, you don't have inside sources. Give me a break. Quit saying that crap. Quit saying that, oh, I've watched wrestling for 10 or 20 years, so I know what's what. No, you don't. Just stop. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing wrestling fans. Just stop. Okay. Don't sit on your phone and envision yourself to be something you're not. Just don't. Okay. I'm sorry. Just don't lie. Don't, you're not. Okay. You're not an insider. You don't have connections. You don't know anything just because you've watched TV for 20 years or whatever. It's not the way it works. All right. So just quit. And again, you're embarrassing this business that we enjoy, this form of entertainment that we enjoy. You are not doing a service to anybody. You're hurting those who are legitimately trying to cover professional wrestling and in the happenings in a legitimate journalistic way, with sources and checking those sources and everything else, right? There's those handful of people, you're hurting them because they believe every ass jockey that's on the internet now is just making stuff up. So just stop. All right, just quit. Just watch the show. Enjoy the show. And don't, I mean, you can have your opinions out there, right? You can say what you want about the product, but don't pretend like you're somebody just don't. All right, I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm done with that. So let's dive back into the world of nostalgic goodness and take a break. And when we come back, we'll have my interview with Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is FilsingerGames, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right. At this time, I'm being joined by one half of the State Patrol and the former lead trainer at the WCW Power Plant, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Sarge, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me tonight.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to talking to you. Let's jump right into it. Talk about your career a little bit. You were trained by the assassin, Jody Hamilton. Is that correct?
Yes, I was trained by assassin Jody Hamilton and Nick Patrick, which is
with Jody's son. Yeah. Tell us about that, right? Because Jody, that's a legend.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm actually Ole Anderson sent me down to his school. Said either you go to this school or you go to Ted Oaks School in Columbus. Well, I lived in Jonesboro. Mm-hmm. So that's only like 10 miles from me. So, and I've watched Jody all my life, so it wasn't no choice for me. That's where I went.
So you're a Georgia boy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Trained by the assassin. You started working in the South. Those first few years when you started working after training, where all were you working there?
Well, I got trained for 3 months, and I had my first match on TV with Jody, Deep South. I wrestled for him for a while, and then I went to NWA. And then I went to WCW.
Yeah. So when you got to WCW, right, most of us know the Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker, right? We know you. We watched you. How did that gimmick come up? Tell me about that.
I'll give you a long story, though.
That's right. I love long stories.
Okay. Stu Hart had contacted us through Dale and wanted us to come up and wrestle for him. We're on a Southern redneck team. Well, we come up with the Georgia State Patrol.
And Dale, your partner on the State Patrol. Yeah.
We loaded up and drove from Atlanta, Georgia to Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And we went out and had like 3 matches, you know. They put the belts on us and we said, no, you take the belts. Because we didn't see them in the damn dungeon they had us staying in. It was awful. And, yeah, so we drove up there, wrestled 3 matches, and drove back in a week. That's how the State Patrol was born.
Canada had to be a little different for a couple of Georgia boys, huh?
Yeah, it was different. That's for sure.
So go ahead.
And, you know, I was looking forward to wrestling Chris and, you know, all the guys up there, you know, so. But it didn't work out, so we drove back to Atlanta, Georgia. We called Stu when we was about in Montana and told him we weren't coming, you know, because he tried not to burn a bridge, but I guess I had to.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, it worked out okay, right? I mean, you guys end up all over WCW TV, right? Doing, you know, wrestling everybody. You guys wrestled some of the greatest teams of all time. During that time, we're talking Midnight Express, Steiners, Andersons, Harlem Heat, blah, blah, on and on and on and on.
On and on.
Did these guys, tell us about how this works, right? We're doing TV matches. Did these guys like working you? Because you guys were an established tag team, right? And that you knew, yes. It wasn't just a couple guys thrown together.
Tag team, and then, you know, from watching in the monitor in the back, you know, they learned that we were honorable, we were trustworthy, we were this, that, and the other, you know, yeah. And that's what kicked off the deal pretty good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would think they would like working two guys that actually work strictly as a tag team like you guys. Then yeah. Just a couple, you know, because the timing and the teamwork, well, and knowing that.
Ole fired Samoan SWAT team and put us on 3 weeks with the Steiners on the road.
Oh,
I thought he hated me by the end, you know.
I bet.
I was all beat up and shit, you know.
I bet, yeah. I mean.
But we used our nightsticks on them, got heat behind the referee's back. You know, that formula still works to this day. You know?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, now you have to cut the guy's head off and he's going to kick out. You know,
that's like I won.
yes, exactly. You're correct.
Well, you know, you guys, like I said, you guys are on TV, right? You're putting a lot of guys over. Was there ever talks to do more with you? Because I always saw you guys. I always thought, man, these guys could have a run, like with the U.S. tag titles or something like that. You know, and have a decent little run. But
I'm sorry, man.
You're
damn,
okay.
It's hot in here.
That's okay. But never happened. Was there ever talks for you to do a little more and have a little better run?
Yes, it was talks. And I think they could have did a lot with State Patrol, just like what we did on the road with Steiners. We used our nightsticks behind the referee back to get our heat,
yeah,
and all that shit. And there was talks, but it didn't come through. So
see, I always thought, man,
it's a wasted gimmick, man. I thought it was a wasted gimmick.
Me too. I thought, you know, you guys were a notch above some of those other guys on TV that are doing these kind of matches. And I always thought, like I said, they had, you know, the on and off had those U.S. tag titles. I always thought, man, this team, I think, I always thought you guys could have had a little run with those U.S. tag titles.
I think so too.
And I thought it would have worked because I just viewed you guys differently, right? When you saw you guys. You had, you know, like you said, you had the gimmick, the matching gear. It was different.
And all of it was real. You can't do that now, I don't think.
That's right, yeah.
The State Patrol shirts and the badges and all that shit was real.
Yeah, that's right.
Stopped at the airport and shit, you know. What the hell are you doing? I'm a wrestler. I'm State Patrol, so.
Yeah, it'd be a whole different talk now if you showed up without the airport.
We went down to Puerto Rico, won the tag team belts down there.
That's where I was going next, right? You guys had a good run in Puerto Rico. What's it like working on there, right? Because you always hear those fans are wild.
Their fans are wild, for real. I mean, shit. Dale says, you have to run to the ring. And I said, shit, I ain't running to the ring. I stuck my head out. I got hit by damn, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
I'm running to the ring, you know. And we did every night. We wrestled Jose and his brother every night, you know.
Yeah.
We got him to send us around tickets, you know. I put them in a plastic bag, put them in the bottom of my boot every night. I may look funny as hell, but I'm coming home. So
I bet. Yeah, that you hear all those terrible, you know, Puerto Rico, they're throwing batteries and cups of piss and everything else, just whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's still, they're still running today. I mean, they're.
Yeah. Yeah. When the, where did WCW branch off to? With the Nasty Boys and that. I think it was called XWF. Hmm. And he, Jose was there. He goes, I want you to build me a ring. I said, okay. You know, but get me a welder down there. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's a side note, right? You built some rings in your time. How did that get started?
I built rings, yeah. I mean, I was always – my dad was a carpenter and owned his own construction company and all that. So, I've done that all my life. So, it was really easy for me, you know.
Yeah.
Especially our rings were made out of Douglas fir. It wasn't out of metal.
Gotcha.
And they were 2x8s, you know, Douglas fir,
mm-hmm.
Planks laid across of it. And shit, it hurt. I tell you, it hurt.
Yeah.
You know, but you get used to it and, you know, you just make the best out of what you can make of it at that time and just do the best you can. I made two video games with AE Sports in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
Made it with people out of the school. They wouldn't send me nobody, man. I was like, do y'all know who this damn EA is?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Multi-billion-dollar company, you know?
Yeah.
So I made them out with the school.
Yeah, so were you guys going up there then and doing the stop motion stuff, like putting the suits on? I mean, how were you doing that?
Yeah, you know, they had Ted DiBiase up there and realized he can't take any bumps no more. Sure. You know, so they invited me. So I bridged the link between the office and them. You know, I fought to get guys, you know, and stuff. It just wasn't in the cards, man. So I had to build that damn video games with people out of school that wasn't experienced and wasn't, you know. Well, I mean, they were experienced, but they wasn't, you know, like road ready, you know, or nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you have to, like, emulate guys? Like, were they saying, okay, this guy's finisher, do
Booker
it for
T.
us?
Do Booker T. Yeah.
Did you have to do a spin-a-rooney?
Yeah. I do an A take and a B take. And sometimes that B take didn't work, so you had to do it two or three times.
Yeah.
To get it right, you know? So, yeah.
That's something, man, when you play, have anybody playing those old WCW games now, looking at it and you're thinking, hey, that's Sergeant Buddy Lee doing those things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I built rings. I wrestled. I didn't rung the bell.
You drove the ring truck, right? I mean,
yeah, I drove the ring truck. I mean, I've set up, wrestled Chris Benoit, tore it down, and drove to Atlanta, Georgia to go into another tryout.
That's the way it goes, so, right? And it's the man, those rings are, they're wild, right? Because I've set up many of those back in the day, you know, putting them together. There's a beauty to it, the way they are.
Oh yeah,
I always love thinking how rings had to have developed over the years, right? They started with something, and the guy said, "Oh well, let's do this to improve it," and how they just evolved over time, you know, to get what they are.
Right,
it's pretty wild because the way they're, it's pretty ingenious the way they're made.
Oh yeah, I got a blueprint of it all. So
yeah,
I made my own blueprint as I built the rings. You know?
Yeah,
and it's so. You know, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, I drove up to the town, set up the ring, went to the gym, worked out, get back, shower, change, and go wrestle, then take the ring down.
Yeah.
Maybe ring the bell in between, you know. What my dad always told me, do as many jobs as you can to make as much money as you can.
That's right.
And that was Jody's philosophy, too. So I just worked myself into that.
Make yourself as valuable as possible.
I wasn't given the position of running the power plant. I just earned it, you know, and just ran with it. And Nick and Jody had a lot to do with that, though.
Right. Tell us about that, right? They start the power plant, right, to kind of start training their guys. You say Nick and Jody. And they knew you, obviously. So how did that come about where they're asking you to start training, help training guys?
Well, like I said, Ole told me to go to Ted O's gym in Columbus or Jody's school in Lovejoy, and I only live 10 miles from there. So It was a natural choice for me. And I've watched Jody all my life. I respect him. I respect Ted O's too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Or Jerry too. So,
yeah.
But that was just worked out in my favor, and I'm thankful for it every day.
Yeah. So, you mean, man, when you were in the power plant training guys, you had, I mean, so many guys come through there. So many guys that went on to be
Kevin
Hall of
Nash,
Fame. Yeah, unbelievable
Kevin Nash,
guys.
DDP, the Giant. I worked with Triple H when Steve Riggle was working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And just on and on and on. Guys told me the other night I've trained over 1,000 people. I had to take his word for it. I didn't know. You know, I didn't keep count, you know, because I didn't earn anybody's name till after they made it, you know. You didn't know if they're going to make it or not. So,
yeah. So tell
me. I did all the squats, everything with them every day.
Yeah. Well, what was that power? Like, okay, so say WCW signs a talent, right? And they send them down to you. How much involvement is coming from actual WCW? Or are they just, hey, train this guy?
Hey, train this guy. You know, we want to learn this, that, and the other. And there you go.
Yeah. So when they were. And were they asking you, hey, is this guy ready? Is this, you know, when?
Yeah.
I mean, listening Taylor, to you on that stuff.
Terry Taylor had a lot to do with that. He was like the go-between between me and Jody and the office. I survived every booker there is to survive, you know. you know, and I trained Kevin Nash at my school where I trained at.
Yeah.
And I trained Dallas Page at the school in Jonesboro. Then we moved to Austell, and then we moved to the final place
yeah.
with Paul Orndorff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and tell me, were you involved in training when El Gigante was down there?
Yes. Yes.
Because exactly. I want to hear about El, because you talk about these guys, right? And you know, these guys, they've got something to work with.
Right.
Tell me about El Gigante, because he.
Okay. He was drafted by the Hawks, you know.
Yep.
You know, every time he'd been knocked down, he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. So they sent him down to me. And
it's Lord, basically Ted Turner trying to get something out of his money, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Trying to get some of his money, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he wanted to do a suplex. Then we had 16-foot rings. We didn't have 18 or 20, you know, like we had in Japan and WCW.
Not going
to
work.
My feet would brush the rafters as I'm going by and hit. And once he done one, he wanted to do 20 of them. So I was sore that all that week, I promise you.
Yeah.
But, I tried to do my best with him, you know, but I tried to do my best with everybody. Max Sanders, Brian Clark. I don't know if you know Brian.
Sure, yeah.
I trained him too. And,
yeah.
So many different ones. Mike Sanders. I mean, on and on and on. You know, people did reach their peak, and some people didn't. They just figure out at the middle, you know.
Well, I mean, like anything else, right? Some guys have an inclination. Some guys have it. Some guys don't. It clicks or doesn't.
Exactly. And, that's why I didn't learn anybody's name till we got made through the tryouts and shit. Then I gave him a nickname. I didn't call him by the real name. I just called him by a nickname, you know?
Kind of like a stray pet. You don't want to get attacked.
Hell yeah. That's what they were.
You don't know how long they're going to be around.
About that. I worked with Johnny B. Badd down at school and Dallas and just so many, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I always heard Gigante was a nice guy, just not.
He was nice, but.
Not made for wrestling.
Not made for wrestling, not made for taking bumps, you know, or anything, you know. So I know the WWE struggled with him when he was up there, but, you know.
I mean,
Triple H didn't like him too much, but, you know, it is what it is.
Sure. I mean, it's hard when you look at a guy that size and you think, oh, there's got to be something we can do.
And then you go, damn, I don't
know.
Not
always. I mean.
Because I'd go home from every tryout and rate every person that tried out, you know, whether they could pick it up or they couldn't. I always check behind myself, you know, and see if I was doing the right thing. And, you know, and I wasn't making a terrible lot of money when I was first down there. I was making $350 a week.
Yeah.
Training these fucking big guys, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, eventually when I was made a Ted Turner employee, I got insurance. I got all the gigs. You know?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it tells obviously probably one of the most famous guys to come through the power play. Goldberg. Tell me about training, right? I mean, natural athlete.
He was a pleasure.
Yeah.
He was a pleasure, man. I told him to bring his camera down, tape everything we're doing, and then go back and look and see what's working, what's not.
Yeah.
You know, and I come up with a jackhammer. I don't know if the people know that. I came up with Jackhammer.
Yeah.
And probably, I don't know, 50% of the moves he does.
Yeah.
Same with Dallas, you know, and so on. And Brian Clark and all them guys, you know, I love them guys. I talk to Brian about every other week or every week.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been trying to get him to come on the show. I message him every so often, and he's like, oh, I'm just so busy. I'm doing this. And I'm like, come on, man. Just give me an hour. I'm like,
yeah.
So much I like to talk to you about.
Yeah. He's trying to get me on, but he wants to do like people from different generations of the power plant. So there's going to be roasting me the whole time. I can take it, though.
Yeah.
Bring it.
You got bring to, it. Right? I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. I brung it. You better bring it. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, we'll go back to your wrestling career, right? After the State Patrol, around 95, 96, you were repackaged as Braun the Leprechaun, putting the Dungeon of Doom. What was all that about?
Well, I got that from Jimmy Hart and Kevin Sullivan, which I love both of them to death, you know. But
yeah,
it was just trying to figure out something. Believe it or not, we got a cease and desist letter from them stupid fucking movies. Excuse my language, stupid movies.
No, you're fine. The Leprechaun movies, yeah.
Yeah, and told us cease and desist. So that was the end of that. You know, I came out as Jack Boot, and Waco happened. I was like, God, the kiss of death, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that you had military man Jack Boot, you know? So everything they tried with you, something would happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was jinxed there for a while, you know?
Should have just stuck with Sergeant Buddy Lee. And just
and that's where it should stay with all the time.
Yeah. But,
Stan Hansen got us over in Japan.
Yeah, you talk about that, right? Yeah, you wrestled in All Japan.
All Japan Wrestling and with what was his name? The big guy, like, he had Andre there, too. I can't remember.
You mean the guy in charge?
Yeah.
Baba?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wrestled with Baba and Steve and Terry Gordy and all them guys.
Did you work any of the All Japan, the tag tourneys when they had those? Back then, those were the thing to see, the All Japan tag tourneys.
And we went over, you know, in the Budokan and different other places, you know, when I guess at the time we couldn't get a push from WCW. I was like, what the hell is wrong with this? You know,
well, I'd imagine in Japan, right, where, you know, they have a tendency to love everything American, right? They love that kind of stuff. And you bring a couple of police officers, United States police officer or whatever, they're going to like that.
Well, I always brung it, man. Sure. I didn't, they say stiff, okay, but I was snug. Arn Anderson said that in one of his interviews. No, he was snug. He wasn't stiff.
Yeah.
But I was snug, so I fit right in over there, you know?
Yeah.
And, Stan Hansen already warned us, you know, they're going to try you with some young boys. We'll come up swinging, man. I mean, damn.
Well, I mean,
you're going to try to give it to me. I'm going to give it to you back.
Yeah, I mean, Snug's
100% through.
Snug's believable, right? I mean, you got to look, you know, what else you going to do?
That's the way Japan was then, you know?
It was, yeah. I mean, all those guys. I mean, if you couldn't do that, you hear all the talk about Stan Hansen, right? And how he would give it. Stan Hansen liked to take it as well, though. If you didn't work him that way, he'd get pissed.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect timing.
You know, my boys, you know, Steven is my oldest. Uh-huh. He got ADHD and speech delay.
Uh-huh.
He got to go to Disney, and so did Christopher, and so did Adam, you know. So, when we first went down there, we was down at Universal for a week. I mean, about a month.
Yeah.
I was going to say a week, but about a month.
Yeah.
You know, and we stayed at Residence Inn, you know, which is like our apartment, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. And we cooked our meals and got rented movies from, what the hell? What was used to that place where we would rent movies from? Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'd go there and rent movies. And then Susan would take the boys and go through the park, you know. That's my wife, Susan.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Been with her 43 years.
So really? Congratulations.
We met when we was 18 years old. So, yeah. She deserves a medal, right?
Something to say.
A medal. Yeah.
All those years of dealing with the Sarge, man. That's something, right?
Yeah. You know, after a while, I couldn't interest her in watching, go with me and watch matches, you know.
Yeah,
she
man.
She didn't want to have me a part of that. I haven't seen enough matches, you know.
I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like your wife watching you work, though. It's not quite the same, is it? It's just...
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's get back. I want to ask you one more thing about Goldberg. When you were training Goldberg, did you ever see that big star potential in him?
Yes.
That he had it?
He had that enthusiasm, man, from the get-go.
Obviously had the luck.
And he, he had the background of MMA, you know, and all that stuff, so... He worked that into his deals as well, and I helped him along with that, you know, and I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of Brian Clark.
Yeah.
All the guys I trained, you know, whether they made it mid-card or, you know, main event or whatever, you know. And then, believe it or not, I was supposed to beat Bill in the last pay-per-view we had. And, man, really? I done set up the ring. I went to the gym and worked out. I had, I had concussion syndrome. I didn't know it at that time.
Yeah.
And Bill come up to me. Nobody told me nothing. I've been wrestling with him shit all through there.
Yeah.
And I just winged it, you know. Nobody told me nothing. I was going to beat Bill. And
yeah.
Bill said, you're going to beat me tonight. And I was like, I don't want to beat you. I had a migraine. I had all kinds of shit going on. But look what that would have done for my career. Done a lot.
Yeah. So tell me the story that I heard of you telling Batista that he'd never amount to anything in pro wrestling.
Yes. Unfortunately, I did.
Yeah.
I made him do all the squats. He threw up. I made him wipe it up with his shirt and put it back on and all this, that, and the other. But see, WCW didn't have a training ground like OVW to be married with like a Brad Armstrong or whoever, Tim Horner, whatever it was, to learn their craft, you know, because that's what you got to learn.
Sure.
WCW didn't have that. I tried to get it for a long time, and they just wouldn't. I said, hell, let me. Because I built the ring for EA Sports for the thing. I put it on wheels so I could jack down and push the ring out of the way, you know. So let me do that down at the power plant. Give me a few heels. Give me a few baby faces. Let me break these guys in, you know. But they never saw my deal.
So. Well, to be fair, when Jim Cornette had Batista Ohio Valley, he thought a lot of the same things about Batista. Not that he didn't have potential or talent, but he just – the makeup, right? He thought, man, this guy maybe mentally is not right for the, because he said he was very quiet, very shy, very meek.
He was, you know, I'm looking for a little fight back, you know. Mm-hmm. Shit, I don't want anybody fold for me, you know. I want a little fight back so I can get interactive with them, you know.
Yeah, especially a guy that looks like that. That's that.
Yeah, well, he didn't look like that when he first
came
down.
Of course, right? Yeah, but
he bulked up. That's all I'm gonna
say. Yeah, well. Magic how that happens, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But hell, I was 248 at 8% body fat at one time, you know? And I met Eric at a deal, and he goes, why come I didn't push you? I was like, Eric, I don't know why you didn't push me. You know, there's no reason not to push me. So, but Dale got an argument with him down at Disney, and Dale was outed. You know, I tried to help him. Lord, I tried to help him, but I had to go with the flow, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I had so much to lose. And
sure.
You know, but anyway, I did a little bit of everything. Sent people to the ring. You know, I did a little bit of everything.
So. And, of course, Dale's no longer with us, right? No,
I ain't heard that yet.
Okay, well, I didn't know because I can't find anything about him.
I can't find anything about him either.
So I thought... I run my own,
you know, for a while. And, you know, I did TV and with Steiners, Dave Taylor.
Yeah.
Larry Zbysko did my color. Scott Hudson did my color.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I tried to use him then. And I just couldn't get him to agree or anything, you know.
Well, I tell you what, if I ever happen to track him down somehow, he's still around. I'm gonna have a state patrol reunion on here, and we're gonna.
Oh, please do.
We're gonna talk. I like doing that kind of stuff, but
that's,
again, I've tried to track him down, but I can't find anything. I can't find anything to go by.
He did live in Albany, Georgia, so he would have to, if we're doing TV taping in Gainesville, he'd have to drive up. You know, and he didn't like that driving, you know, and all that stuff. But
sometimes that happens, right? These guys get out, and they
I was driving the ring truck, so you know what the hell.
Come on, Dale.
Yeah.
Could have done a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So after WWE bought WCW, was there ever any discussions with you to come up there and do some training? Because they had...
I think it was to begin with. But then they started that ridiculous show that they had, Tough Enough.
Yeah.
You know, Bill DeMott tried to be me and... all kinds of shit. So, you know, I wasn't going to move my family up there if it's just for a word. You know, I'm not going to disroot my family and move up there. And hopefully everything works out. No, I'm not. That's why I stayed here. You know, I ran my own for a while. And I was using Brad Armstrong and all the Armstrong brothers. And they book stuff. They get a payday in a piece of the town and, you know, that type of stuff. So,
is there heat between you and Bill DeMott?
I don't think so. I kid him all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you had
to ask. You couldn't be me. What the fuck you trying to be me for?
Did you work with him at all when he came into WCW? Because I know he'd already wrestled, right? Crashed the whatever.
Yeah, he already
did some stuff.
You know, he wrestled down in Florida and stuff. Yeah,
I didn't know if they sent him through the power plant at all to tune up or anything. And But
they just stuck him out there for that one TV, and that was it.
Yeah, but yeah, they had him up for training. That's I trying to be.
I didn't wrestle him 20 times by then on dark matches. You know, I had him doing stuff that I knew he would never do at WCW.
Yeah,
they back me in the corner. I do a big shove and hike his leg. He'd do a backhand spring and spear me coming out of that. You know, I knew, but I was trying to sell him to Eric. You know, trying to sell him to WCW. You know,
man, I always thought he was a hell of a worker. And I always thought, yeah,
I think he's got his retirement match coming up. I don't know. Really? I don't talk to him much, believe it or not.
I always thought he had a good looking moonsault. He did it. I mean, that was for a guy his size.
Yeah, he did.
I always wondered though I always wondered though when they had some of those, you know, they did some of those developmental territories, right? Like Deep South and stuff. How come we never had Sergeant Buddy Lee involved in anything?
Well, yeah, you about had. Jody vowing me down to do some night classes.
Well, I thought about that, too, because Jody was involved in Deep South, right? He was running Deep South.
Right. I wrestled for him at Deep South before it was, you know, that.
Yeah, yeah.
He vowed me down to run some night classes, and I walked in. I walked in with my freaking bag, man. I carry my bag everywhere. That's the number one rule.
Sure. Yeah.
You never know.
Always be ready, right? Yeah.
The one they call when somebody couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Conan or one of them ones couldn't make it. I was always the one they called. So I carried my bag every damn where.
Right.
I walked in with my bag, you hear crickets hit the floor. I was like, what the hell? One guy was rolling up the mat. I was like, what the fuck? What the hell is this? This is BS. I make everybody roll up. I made them set up the rings. I made them put it in the truck. Because you got to respect your business. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do all that, you respect your business, and you give it all your effort to make it look as great and as good as you could make
it. Yeah. So. Which, I mean, I think that's a lost art now. I mean, it's totally different now. Do you ever try to watch anything now?
I don't. I do tape AEW every once in a while to watch people I want to watch. Then I delete it. You know, I like Brian Danielson, and you know, back when that he was able to go, you know, but he was trained in the dojo in Japan, you know, and even when I went over there, I did squats with the young boys before the matches, you know, and eventually they split me and Dale up. I was wrestling like main event, and Dale was wrestling like the first few or whatever, which didn't matter, you know, whatever. But I did everything I could do to make as much money as I could.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always signed autographs for people. It didn't matter if I was heel or babyface. It didn't matter.
Sure.
You know, if they're conscious enough to ask me for an autograph, I'd be damned if I'm not going to give them an autograph.
Right.
Sure. Some of the heels go, shit, that's not part of my gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hell, drawing people in the damn crowd is your gimmick.
That's right. Yeah.
So you should be nice to everybody, you know, that asks you nicely, you know.
Yeah.
If they acted like a jerk to begin with, I usually signed it, but I didn't give them much effort.
Mm.
So, you know.
Kept a little bit of that mystique there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always trained not to expose the business, you know, and I didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it till they were signed up and agreed for the power plant and all that shit. I didn't expose the business.
Another law. I mean, again, it's the curtain's pulled now. I don't know what you can, you know, it's, I still say there's probably ways that you can make guys believe if they wanted to work hard enough. You can always do something, but you got to commit.
Right. And I think a lot of the guys that got at AEW do some fantastic shit that, you know.
They do.
Unbelievable stuff, you know. And, you know, Triple H has went more back old school a little bit, where he wants to see somebody work a hold and work out of it and tell a story. You know, I'm a heel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baby face, but he can out-wrestle me before I, you know, try to cheat behind the referee's back, you know, and that's what all the business is based on. Even when I was watching, because I watched Georgia Championship wrestling with Gordy Soley, you know, he make everything sound good.
That's right.
Get him in factorious major muscle and, you know, all that stuff, you know.
But, it's just so hard anymore, right? It's like, because I do watch bits and pieces that I like, But it's like I can't watch all of AEW because there's just too many high spots. All yeah. It's high spot is too much. I can't watch all WWE because there's so much damn talking. It's like there's more, you know, and I love a good promo. Don't get me wrong, but I don't need one for 30 minutes.
And no.
Do it, you know, it's, hey, let's do a 3-minute
That's
promo.
That's what they're doing to sell the matches, you know. Is
it is.
So a big, it's long like, promo, so when they get to the ring, the match is already set, you know.
Yep. So I just chalk it up. I guess it's passed me by. And I'll just.
Well, it always comes back around.
It does, and I hope
mean, it does. It'll make full circle.
Well, until then, I'm gonna watch the old. I'll just turn on some old stuff, some old tapes or something, and
yeah,
I'll watch what I like. But
turn on Deep South and watch me wrestle for Jody.
That's right. Well, I've always been a tag team guy, and I always liked State Patrol, and I always thought, like I said earlier, man, I always just thought, man, why don't they? These guys are different. Why don't they do a little? I always.
It took us going to Calgary, Alberta, Canada to get noticed.
Yeah,
you know? Well, I mean, then we weren't noticed for the right reason.
But so, it's hard, right? If you're good at what you're doing and you're making other guys look so good, it's hard. It's what you know. It's hard to get out of that
I
position.
Can't turn it off.
I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't be doing anybody any justice. I
that's
just
right.
Turned it off. You know.
Yeah. So
I always took pride in my matches. And stuff. So I was going to give them all my, if I laced up my boots, I was going to give them all of, no matter what I was doing.
That's right. So, tell me what's next for Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker? What's he up to now? You doing any appearances or anything like
I'm
that?
I'm doing some appearances. Some people want me to come in for do not like the power plant, but train some of their guys before the matches.
Yeah. Some seminar type things and stuff.
Yeah. Seminar mm-hmm. stuff. And everybody's always asking me for a podcast, as you, I mean, you already know. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
we've been trying for so long to get this stuff together.
So. That's right. So, well, I mean, what about, you know, this is kind of the day and age of merchandise. Anybody reaching out to you for a Sergeant Buddy Lee action figure or?
Well, I got two companies making them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give information yet on that? Or is it not yet?
It's coming up. I can't give it yet.
Okay. Well, we can watch that. Cause that'd be
I got t-shirts and all kinds of stuff, you know,
good deal.
T-shirts. And
yeah.
My saying was always body by me.
Mm-hmm.
That was my saying, you know, and I mean, I kind of did Sarge on back and body by me on the back.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, if we're getting a Sergeant Buddy Lee figure, man, we got to find Dale because we got to have, you know, a lieutenant figure to go with the Sarge.
I got that lined up, you know.
Yeah.
So the other people just wanted me to do Sarge's Dwayne Bruce, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I got another company who wants to do State Patrol, and the guy's dressed up just like State Patrol.
I love that. That'd be great.
Yeah. And, you know, you heard the deal about that, don't you?
What are you talking about? No.
Well, if you lay it on his stomach, it has arm artery comes out and runs on his back. I can't make fun of myself. Who can I make fun of?
Does it count the lights?
Yes.
I thought you were serious about something here for a minute.
No, totally
sucked me in.
I always made jokes. People don't remember me for that, you know, but I always made jokes all the way through and ribbed people. And just like I was getting ribbed, you know, when I first came there. So
we got, it's wrestling, man. It's got to be, you got to, it's not like you're working, you
got to give and take.
Not like working a 9-to-5 job. You got to have fun. It's a fun, it's an entertainment. It's fun.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
I used to
have t-shirts and tank tops from every gym I ever been to, you know?
So do you have some stuff available to purchase now? I mean, you have shirts and stuff now, you say, or
it's coming up. It's coming up.
Well, where can people, where can they follow you or what can they do to know when that stuff's available?
sarge@7381@gmail.com.
Okay. So they can reach out to you.
Reach out to me.
All right. So we got.
And when the dolls come out, you know, you'll be able to buy them through me and t-shirts and everything.
That's nice. Cause I mean, action figures are the hot thing right now. You know, lots of companies doing them. It's nice.
Brian Clark actually hooked me up with that. So,
because he's had a
TRT, I think it is TRT something, but then somebody else. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember that company. There's several companies doing them, but I know Brian's got a few figures, I think, that's been.
Stuff. I'm proud of Brian, man. He's always been the same guy. I met him from day one, you know. I don't know if you know, but Ox Baker trained him, supposedly.
Really?
And then he come down to the power plant. I had him do a drop kick, and I was like, God dang, that big ass guy can get up there and do a drop kick. We got to do something with this guy, you know? And, you know, and I was always fortunate enough to really look at something and see what the value is and what maybe not the value. And
now tell me,
attitude or.
If Ox Baker was supposedly training Branko, who was helping Ox Baker? Because there's no way Ox Baker
was climbing in that idea.
Ring. Ox Baker.
Every time I see Ox have a match on there, I send it to Brian. He gives me a LOL, you know.
Ox didn't bump in his career, so he wouldn't get in that ring.
Never.
As a kid, I was scared to death of Ox Baker.
Oh, just look, man.
Because he looks scary as hell.
God dang, man.
I'm originally from Indiana, right? And Ox would work Indy with Bruiser all the time. And I'd be like, scare me to death with that look, man. I don't care.
He had it down, man.
That's right.
I was eyebrush, you know, eye deals.
All that talk.
Going up.
All that talk that he killed a guy with the heart. All that talk that he killed a guy with the heart punch. I'm like,
yeah.
I was terrified.
You know where that came from, don't you?
Well, there was somebody that died, right? But it wasn't related to the heart punch, right? I mean, they just
they
told the story. That's wrestling, right? Take advantage. I mean,
yeah, that was back in when it was Georgia Championship. You know?
Yeah,
but it's smart. I don't know. I wouldn't, if it was me, I wouldn't grieve about it. You know, it's just one of those things that happen. You know,
yeah. I mean, but, you know, I always like dogs.
I always rib the guys. You know, always. The guys I took up from the power plant, Mike Sanders and Janrak or whatever his name was. And them guys, I always ribbed them when I got up there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. We got up there and we went to a bar, right? And I'm not big about bars. I'm not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm there to get my drink and my food and get the fuck back to the room and go work out the next day. Yep. That's what I'm about.
Yep.
So, actually, there was a guy at the thing, he was gay. So I said, send a note to Mike Sanders, you know, talking about that. And then the guy at the hotel was gay and he really went for Mike. And I had a good time with that, man. It was just awesome.
What'd you think of those guys like Jindrak and Sean Stasiak and stuff? I mean, they were.
Well, I liked them, you know. They didn't have enough experience to be in what they tried to put them in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I just don't think they use them correctly, you know. My deal was always like this. And I want to do this at the power plant. Send me some heels, send me some baby faces. I would tell a story, build it up, and it would end, you know, and then they would go to Saturday night. They would lose. They would lose. Then they win.
Yeah.
Everybody likes against the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then they go to Thunder. If they ever make it to Nitro, you done created your own star.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's always my idea about them guys, you know. I don't think WCW did that correctly, but, you know, I fought every bit of time I was there and every meeting and everything, you know. And
well, I think
some meetings that Paul Orndorff went in there and said I had to speak up, you know. Yeah.
Well, my
first idea was put the damn camera on the truss.
Yeah.
And, well, look at it now.
Yeah. They looked at a lot of those guys and the way they looked. They looked at a lot of those guys like Stasiak and Jindrak and said they thought they couldn't wait to get them on TV because the way they looked and
right. And, they needed to push them a little slower.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Yeah.
And make them earn what they get. So when they get there, they appreciate it. You know, that's been always my deal. That's why I make them tear down the ring, load it in the ring truck, set it up, you know, all that stuff. It's time you get there and you learn what another person does to help you. You get it, you know. I had a camera crew who was down in Disney, and I had to go to Mississippi for a pay-per-view. And the guy that Jody set up took off. Do you know because of the respect I had for the camera crew and all them guys, they stayed, missed their flights, stayed and helped me take down the ring so I could go to Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something.
And try to find something during the you know, college football season. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, you know, wrestling involved, right? You didn't have the territories and the places. You couldn't take a guy and send him somewhere to get him some ratchets and some seasoning before you're putting him on the big TV. I mean.
Right, right. Yeah.
So,
and that's what I wanted to give to WCW, you know?
Yeah, so
I think they'd have done that very easily, you know? Yeah. Right out of the power plant, they could have done that, you know?
Yeah, but
I think I stepped on maybe too many toes or I did whatever, you know, and they didn't push it. So
Yeah.
But I thought if they made it to WCW Saturday night, by the time they made it to Thunder, you know, developed your own guy, you know, and he understands what he's doing, why he's doing it, and all that, you know, which I don't think Mark and them quite understood what they were doing. So
yeah, well, I mean, but
I'm not knocking them. You know, they give him that spot. You got to run with it.
Sure, yeah. And, well, I mean, you definitely made your impact. Though, because, you know, if you look at some of the biggest names in wrestling, right, the Goldbergs, the DDPs, the Kevin Nash, I mean, all those are Sergeant Buddy Lee guys. And, yes. So, you know, hey, that's, you can say what you want. That's
right.
Some guys, you know, do this, do that, headline pay-per-views. You had your impact in a different way.
Then when Regal was coming down, you know, I didn't step on his toes because it was my territory. Mm. We're trying to train somebody.
Yeah.
So I sat back and tried to learn as much as I could. I had his last baby face match with him before he turned heel.
Yeah.
And Dick Slater come out and goes, how am I going to follow that? I was like, I don't know, Dick. I'm getting in my car leaving.
Not my problem.
Yeah. But I always got along with the older guys, too, you know.
Yeah.
They knew I tried to earn my respect. And so they always gave me some respect. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's Sarge. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Like you said, we've been trying to do this for a while. I'm glad we got to finally do it.
Yeah,
and, it's fun hearing you tell the stories. And like
sure
I said,
we can get together. I got plenty of Sheiky stories to tell you. Everybody's got a Sheiky story, right? Yeah.
Well, tell me one Sheiky story because I always love a good Iron Sheik story.
We going through the airport, right? And getting on the train to ride over. He didn't check his bags. He'd always do shoulder shrugs with his back going through. And he got his damn arm caught in the train. And me and Nick pulled him apart, you know. And he goes, oh, a train child, shoot on the Sheiky baby. You know, and we just, I mean, it's just stuff you had to, you know. I got stuck with him where everybody was trying to get away from him, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I learned a lot from watching him, you know.
Yeah,
he told me one time that was when Warner Robbins. He goes, I'm not putting over Bob Backlund look-alike. You know, that's what he called me, you know. And of course, he had to put me over because that's where they were going at that time.
He called you a Bob Backlund look-alike?
Yes, he sure did. He sure did.
Oh. Yeah, I guess he's thinking back where Backlund had to put him over anyway.
Right, exactly.
We're doing it again, I guess. I don't know.
Yes,
I
exactly.
Got a shake.
But give him a good old stories, you know. God bless
absolutely,
him.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Nick and Sheik rode together because he lived in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. We lived in Riverdale, so it's just right up 15 miles up the street, you know. So
yeah.
I remember time we met at the gym where we always went to, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was thundering and lightning and shit, and this one she couldn't drive. He's out there doing squats and shoulder shrugs in the middle of the damn parking lot with it thundering and lightning everywhere, you know.
Oh, man.
But, you know, that's, you know, if you get to there where you can just get to there and they understand you, you done your job, right?
Sure, yeah. Well, Sarge, it's been fun. Like I said, I'm going to try to track down Dale. I'm hoping I can track down Dale.
Well, you do. Track me back down. I like to know what's going on with him. I'm 62, so he's got to be 65, 66, you know.
Okay.
So, right. You know.
Well,
I'm a wrestle Dale at Deep South with Jody and all that stuff, you know. So, it all makes a turnaround, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're wrestling Dale at Deep South and then you end up tagging with him, you know. So.
Well, if he's still around and out there, and I can track him down, We're gonna have to do a state patrol reunion on here.
That would be awesome.
Hey, you bums, we have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker for coming on and doing that interview. We've been trying to set it up for a while, and I'm glad that we got it done. Hopefully, I can track down Lieutenant James Earl Wright, and in the future, here on Wrestling Nostalgia, we can have a State Patrol reunion interview right here. I would be so excited to make that happen. I'm gonna try. So fingers crossed, guys. Send me some good vibes that I can make that happen. Guys, follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much any podcast platform, I'm on pretty much any social media platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or The Dave Dynasty, all one word, and you will find me there. Also, go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. Go to WrestleCopia.com to see them all, or you can look them up individually by show on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. You can go to classicwrestling.net to sign up for your account now and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. Guys, my episode next guest will be announced soon on social media. Yet another reason to follow me. I've got several interviews lined up. I'm trying to decide what order is what once on the, you know, the release of these. And you know me, my superstitious ass is not going to announce a guest until I have that interview in the bag. So watch social media in the coming days for the announcement of next episode's guest. And until then, guys, just be good, be nice, have fun, enjoy wrestling, find what you like and watch it, and just be happy, man. Just be good. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world right now. Don't get caught up in it. Don't be one of those guys. Just be cool. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia, copyright Dave Dynasty, Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.